North Rock Podcast.
Because they perceive that the image of the person on the Facebook, the things that are being said, aren't completely accurate. Can I just be the first to admit they're not? Right, they're not. I mean, Facebook is there to kind of celebrate the highlights of what's going on in your life. It's an opportunity to connect and talk to people and share some of the things going on in our lives. But it doesn't tell the whole story, right? It doesn't tell the whole story. The Facebook reality versus our life reality, there can be a disparaging difference in each of those. And part of that is because of those hurricane type of winds that I showed you there. You know, I found an article as I was studying, preparing this week, from Newsweek, from a person named Jesse Shaw that wrote this way about how life comes in and kind of messes around, blows around the image of Christ in our lives. And it says, it is exceedingly clear that the chronic stress of the 21st century living is not a mere inconvenience, but a major problem that needs to be recognized to be treated seriously. Unless we as a society learn to slow down, breathe. Let's take a moment here in church and just take a deep breath, everybody. Man, that was worth the price of admission right there. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling better, right? So we need to slow down, breathe, examine our values, and change our hectic lifestyles. We will continue to suffer from cardiovascular disease, immune deficiencies, depression, and a host of other illnesses. Further, we will pass these traits and poor coping skills onto our children, who could experience even greater suffering given their exposure to severe stress from the first days of life. So, I'm a pastor that tells you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? That there is the promise of God over our lives. There is. And we can more and more, as we're transformed into his image, experience those things in the here and now and unto eternity, right? How many of you guys are so glad that when you see the promises of the Word of God in the Bible, it doesn't say, well, when you die and go to heaven, then you'll get that. It doesn't say that, and yet I know so many people that's kind of the experience that they think. I'm just going to suffer and toil away, and then one day Jesus will come back and it'll all be better. That last part is true. It is true. We're holding on for that, right? But we can also experience more and more and more of his likeness, his power, his peace, as we experience more of him in this world. So as much as is true of what we just said, it's also important that we acknowledge that the strain and struggles of this world can sometimes beat us down. By design, humans are fragile. We're amazing, but we're fragile. And that requires that all life systems take time to provide daily care or self-care for renewal, for repair, for recovery, and for replenishment. It's why we need to respect God's design and his intent and his limits in our lives, right? How many of you guys know that this is a true statement? That just because God could doesn't mean we should, right? That we can't do all things all the time without it having some sort of repercussions in our lives. That we need to respect God's designs, his intent, and his limits on our lives. And finally, we need to be dependent on God. That's what this whole series is about. It's about reminding ourselves in 2016, we want our roots to go down deep into Christ's life. That we'd be dependent on him so that he gets all the glory in our life. Amen? You know, just this week I was up in, I was leading a leadership conference up in Ouray, Colorado. And I've got a buddy that I played football with that lives up in Grand Junction. We've been kind of staying in contact through Facebook over these last several weeks. And he just began to kind of talk to me about his struggles and some things that are going on in his life and the challenges that he's facing and just how he's at his limit and he just can't take anymore. And so, you know, we've been kind of talking about that. And when we signed off last night, he said, man, it's good to see you got your life on track and that, you know, you did all this and blah, 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 all that. And I just had to stop him and say, no, that's not true. I still struggle. I still have challenges. I still have to work at this every single day. But you're right. I made a decision about 21 years ago to give my life to Christ, to have my life be rooted into him. And that has made all kinds of difference in the blessings that you're seeing on my Facebook profile and in our conversations. Now, really, that is the good news, that we don't have to go through this life on our own, y'all. That when those storms hit, we don't have to just, you know, buckle down and do our very best and just try to hold on. That we all need to live that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says it this way. The Apostle Paul writes this, and it's an often quoted scripture, but I think it has a different application. We actually take time to think about how it could impact our very lives. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." Love that scripture, don't you? That it's his power, it's his promise over our lives, that the outside may not ever look the way that we think it should in order for us to represent such a great gift. That's good news, but it doesn't change the fact that his work is alive in us and transforming us day in and day out as we make our lives built on him in three basic ways. The way we're defining health today for the purposes of our discussion, the way that we're defining it in this series, is that our lives will be rooted in Christ physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so when I think of that verse, I love that they use metaphors in the scriptures like clay jars. And I just so happened to bring a clay jar with me today. And if you'll notice, it's beautiful. It's handmade. It's got a great finish on it. And this is kind of, if we're thinking about it, this is kind of the promise that God has over our lives. That we were created in his glory. We were created to be beautiful. We were created to be amazing people. We all also know that this world can sometimes swing a hammer at us, right? The bills, the health of family members that we love. The people in our lives that maybe don't see the beauty of what God's doing in our lives can discourage us, right? That even though we know we're created for God's glory, even though we're created in his image, we can get beat up a little bit in this world, if we're honest. And besides making a big mess tonight, I use this illustration for the purposes of reminding us that it's what's inside that matters. It's not necessarily what's on the outside. That it's his power alive in us that makes the difference. And it's by us disciplining our lives to be with him and in him and rooted in him, he's able to take the pieces of our lives, no matter what shape they're in, whether it's just dinged or completely shattered all over the place, and he can make it new. As he pours himself into us, he remakes us, right? So that's my magic trick for the day. You can applaud if you'd like. You don't have to. I know it's not going to get me on, network television or anything. But I think it makes that point that when we're rooted, his life pours out through our life, and he's able to take whatever we can bring in and make it new and whole once again. So as we prioritize our health and we manage the stressors in our lives, we experience more and more and more of the abundant life that Jesus promised us. And that the way that's released is through us disciplining ourselves to stay rooted. Really, that's all that we bring to the table. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 16 says it this way. It says, "Lord, your discipline is good, for it leads to life and to health. You restore my health and allow me to live." Isn't that a good promise today, church? That it's your discipline, that it's good for my life. And it leads to life and health. You restore my health and you allow me to live. Charles Spurgeon, a great theologian and pastor, once said it this way. He said, "We are, in a sense, our own tools, and therefore we must keep ourselves in good working order." So my encouragement today is simply that we can live a life that thrives once again, that we're created for it, that we can live a life that allows the life of Jesus to so transform us that we have people in our lives that say, "I don't know what's going on, but I like what God's doing in your life." Amen? Amen. So three habits that I think release health in our life. One of them is to be physically rooted through rest, diet, and exercise, right? Now, I'm not up here to be your personal trainer today. We don't have time for that. But I think we all know in here that getting a little exercise and eating healthy and getting some rest is a good idea, and it allows us to thrive in the ways that we're made. We're created to have those rhythms, right? So we need to be people who take our physical life serious, not because we have to, but because it's an honor and a privilege and an opportunity for us to again witness and to share the life of Christ in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says it this way. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says it this way. It says, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I'm disciplining my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I feel that after preaching to others, I might have been disqualified. Okay, so again, if we're going to live healthy lives, if we're going to live lives that are thriving, if we're going to live with the idea of what God's intent was in creating us to thrive, we're going to have to pay attention to our physical bodies. Again, the reminder that he bought us at a price, that it's not mine anymore to decide, it's his, right? Second thing that we need to do is we need to be rooted spiritually. That's why we talk about in church the kind of devotions, the rhythms of coming to church and praising and worshiping. You guys feel that change in your heart when we lift up our praise to him? It's like a shower for us. It allows him to rinse over us and to remind us of his great love for us and who he really is in our lives. But it's so much more than that. It's taking time for solitude. It's taking time to actually serve somebody else. It's taking time for us to be in community with one another. It's taking time to read his word and to meditate on it and to remind ourselves of what it is that he says we're about in this world. That we know that inherently that our devotional lives are important. And I think, Richard's upstairs teaching. Richard teaches our J-12s, and he's the guy that leads up our YouVersion. Everybody say YouVersion? YouVersion online devotionals that we do as a congregation. If you go to the website, YouVersion.com, it's got all kinds of different Bibles, all kinds of different Bible studies, but especially as we enter 2016, it's a chance for us to re-up and reminding ourselves that if we'll take care of that first, that God ends up taking care of all that rest in our lives. But Richard does a great job with that, so if you're looking for some company, if you're like my man Josh that needs some other people around to remind him that we do things because it ends in the results of the promises that we have, we need to do that. 1 Corinthians 4:8 says this in the New Living Translation. It says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the one to come. Isn't that good? That it's not just our physical lives that release health, that our lives need to be spiritually rooted in Christ as well. And finally, here's the last one that I want to talk to you about today. We need to be rooted emotionally in Christ. And, you know, I did a message a couple of weeks ago that kind of talked about our emotions and how they're interwoven into our spiritual maturity and the ways that we can begin to grow and develop and be discipled by Jesus in our emotional lives. But today I wanted to talk about the specific part of those high winds that we run into, the stress that we all carry in our body. I don't know, I know a lot of people in this room, I know a lot of people in the other services that are part of North Rock, and I know that there are many of us that can walk around in some form of that kind of broken shell, right? The stress in our lives, we just learn to take a stiff upper lip and put a big smile on our face and just go, by golly, we're going to make it through. Right? I'd do a John Wayne impression, but it wouldn't be worth the effort, right? That there's that truth that the things that we experience in this world can attempt to try to beat us down, and we can come to a place where we just make peace with getting by. We can come to a place where we're okay just carrying stress all the time. And part of what I want to do in this series is we look at our rhythms of our lives is remind us that we're not meant to carry those things. That we need to learn how to have that rhythm of turning them back over to the Lord who cares about our very lives and who can lift those things off of us. So what is stress? It's the response of the body to any demand that we face. It's over-arousal of our adrenaline system. It's being stretched beyond our design boundaries. It's extending too much energy without recovery. And its effects can have causing inflammation and damage in our lives. Can I just stand here before you make a confession? As your pastor, I am an adrenaline junkie. I'm a recovering adrenaline junkie. Let me rephrase that. I'm an adrenaline junkie who's been set free by Jesus Christ, but I'm also one who still has to have that managed in my life, and I have to have people in my life that remind me and say, Chad, you think we're redlining a little bit? Maybe a little bit. because that's just one of my issues. So what is stress? It's all those things that I just said, and the hard truth about stress, the reality is we can't avoid it, right? I mean, none of us can just go find a place, a little foxhole somewhere, and kind of close out around the world and just kind of stay there. Stress is part of our lives, and so we need to learn how to walk in it without it kind of smashing us down. But the hard truth about stress is that being too busy and living outside of our design limits doesn't make us more valuable. In fact, the goal is that we live a life that's centered and ordered and rhythmed. You guys know about rhythm because we're all Denver Bronco football fans in this place, right? Well, okay, not everybody. We don't need to get into that tonight. But we've all seen it, right? We've seen when that offense is in sync. We've seen when they're able to just kind of get into the rhythms of the plays that they're trying to call. And we've also seen at times, like all season long, where maybe it didn't get into those rhythms, right? I think that's a good picture of what we're talking about when it comes to stress. That there's eustress and there's distress. And we need to find a way to balance those out, that we find the stress points that put life back into us and not just live under the ones that suck life from us. Because the truth of the matter is that unmanaged stress interferes with our natural abilities to experience peace and joy and focus in our lives. And too much stress for too long of a period of time without adequate recovery causes damage to us, physical and emotional. That we begin to languish and have pain and epidemic diseases and anxiety and depression. And I thought this was an interesting percentage that I read this week, that 90% of doctor's visits are usually stress-related. Isn't that interesting? 90% of the time, that's what gets us to finally walk into that place and go, okay, doc, what's going on here, right? In fact, it said 75% of diseases are stress-related and that they can be prevented and reversed even with intentional wellness lifestyles. Okay? So what are some of the stress warnings? What are we looking for? What are the symptoms that we need to be aware of when we know that we're experiencing it? Cognitive symptoms can include memory problems, inability to concentrate, poor judgment, seeing only the negative, being anxious, racing thoughts, constantly worrying, right? And I just encourage you that while we go through this quick list here, that you kind of do your own little personal checklist of, yep, okay, nope, I'm good there, that one's good. But just take a few minutes and do a little self-evaluation there. Physical symptoms include aches and pains, fatigue, exhaustion, diarrhea, constipation, nausea, dizziness, chest pain, rapid heartbeat. That can even mimic a heart attack and a loss of sex drive and frequent colds. Emotional symptoms, moodiness, irritability, anger, anxiety, anxiety attacks, agitation, inability to relax, feeling overwhelmed, having a profound sense of loneliness and isolation, depression, and other general unhappiness behaviors. And behavioral symptoms, eating more or less, sleeping too much or too little, isolating yourself from others, procrastinating or neglecting responsibilities, abusing alcohol, cigarettes, or drugs to relax, nervous habits like biting my nails up here, right, while I'm talking to you guys or pacing back and forth. Man, you guys are already reading my mail, and I'm just trying to read a list here, right? We become messy and organized, okay? So as we take that inventory today, it's not for any other purpose other than for us to be able to really pay attention to our own signs in our lives. And when we recognize that those things are going on in our lives, it may be helpful for us to ask, what is it that I can change? I can't change everything, right? We're always going to have a boss. Sometimes that boss is going to be, you know, fun to work for. Other times, probably not so much. But what can we change? How can we take action? How can we adapt? What must we do to adapt? What must we let go of? We can ask the question of, how am I coping with the stress in my life? And then we can ask the question of, how can we recover? And by asking these, what it allows us to do is to create margin in our life, right? It creates a buffer so that we have the opportunity to make the adjustments and not allow the unmanaged stresses in our lives to come in and do damage in our bodies and our emotions and our energies. It's asking the question, Lord, how can I calm my mind, relax my body? And I've got three proven ways for stress recovery that I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. as we believe and contend and pray to the Lord to ask him to do a mighty work in our lives, that we would not be known for just being busy and full of stress, but rather that we would exemplify the life that he's promised, full of the fruitfulness of his Holy Spirit in our lives. So three ways that are helpful for me, I hope that they'd be helpful for you, is one, keep a stress journal. Become aware. Become aware of the things that are stressful in your life. Ask yourself the questions, or ask your spouse or a friend or somebody close enough proximity to see our lives. What stresses me? What is it that triggers me? What are my issues, my symptoms? What thoughts are associated with them? How do I react? What's my body or my life saying to me? What are my longings and the desires? What are the stress effects and the symptoms that I'm currently having in my life? And then once we do that, we can do the second thing, and that's to know what helps with stress reduction for us. Okay? Can I just say that it's different for every single person in here, probably? For me, getting some physical exercise helps de-stress me. Nothing changes in my life, but by getting a little bit of physical exercise, I feel less of those effects that we just kind of went through the list on. But it can be a lot of other things as well. What soothes you, what replenishes you, and what renews you? Again, those are three different categories. If you take the time to find those little spots that you can begin to enjoy some of the life that God's entrusted to us, sometimes our stress levels can go way down. Or we can use a question like this: what appeals to my senses that really help me relax? And how can I create more ways for boundary, recovery, and margin in my life? And the final way that I think is a proven way to help us recover from stress in our lives, it's to get support. It's to get support. We were designed to live life with friends around us, to find a partner, a therapist, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Again, part of why we're doing this Rooted series is to reassess, okay, Lord, where's my life experience drift? I know this is who you say I am. I know this is what I want my life to be about, but I can know that my life can also drift off course at times. We can make the decision to resolve conflict. We can make the decision to forgive, to pray, and to meditate. And why would we go through all the hard work? Why would we decide to do these things? Because it's true. It takes effort. It takes work in order for us to deal with some of these things. It's going to get harder before it gets better. But we do it because God's promises of our lives are that good. Amen? And we know just the ones that we read today are worth us giving our very lives for. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14 of the New Living Translation says it this way. The reason we would pay attention to these things, the reason we would make adjustments to the stress loads, the reason that we would keep our lives rooted in Christ physically, emotionally, and spiritually are because Psalm 92 says that the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow like strong cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted or rooted. Right? They're transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. And even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will still remain vital and green. Isn't that a good promise today, church? So as we take some time to close our services, I'd like you to just take a few more minutes before the push and the pull and the hurry and the worry of this world sucks us back out those doors and into our cars to hustle to wherever it is we're all going to be hustling to. Would you take some moments and allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to your own heart? Would you ask him for maybe one or two or three ways that you can make an adjustment this year to experience less stress and more of his fullness in our lives? Amen? So let's go ahead and let's worship him, and then I'll be up to close the service.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.